Well, good morning, everyone. Time to start our worship service. Let's all stand, if it's convenient for you, sing the old song, praise song, Hosanna.
Praise is rising.
Well, it's good to have you here. I can't tell which way we're going now. It looks like we've stalemated maybe some way. Up and down. We sure are glad you're here. And thankful for the day. There's a couple things I want to announce. One is next Sunday morning will be Senior Day, right, Brother Raj? Brother Raj's going to preach, and we're going to celebrate our graduates, and we want you to be here to help us celebrate that. This week, Thursday night, is the deacons' meeting, and so if you can be here at 7 o'clock, that would be good if you're one of the deacons. Next Sunday night, we're going to try to follow that with a business meeting, and we'll be caught up on our business sessions if that works out that way. And so if you can come to those, that would be great. We'll have our evening service this afternoon as usual, and that'll be at 6 o'clock. There are some leftovers, some pens for Father's Day and Mother's Day that are back in the foyers, and so if you could use some of those, take them with you, give them away. They make somebody a good gift. I've been giving them to folks, and so make yourself welcome to those. Am I forgetting anything? Probably am. But great to have you here, and we're going to celebrate the Lord and have a good time doing that. So let me lead us in a word of prayer. Father, thank you and praise you for the day, for every blessing of life, for your mercy and your goodness and your kindness toward us. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the homes that are here and the homes that are not able to be here. We just pray and lift them up and pray, God, for your will to be done. We pray for our country, for our leaders, our president and his staff, for our governor and those that make the decisions that affect us. We just pray, God, for them. You've given us orders to do that. Help us to be faithful to do that. We pray for this service to come, that we would just deliver it into your hands. It'd be yours. Lord, help us to worship you today, that we would just get away from ourselves, that we would just surrender our thoughts and all that there is to you, that we might be able to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, I believe Mr. Roger has an announcement.
Sorry, I'm just going to add to it just a little bit. Yes, next Sunday morning we are recognizing the seniors. Please come out and support them. They've missed out on so much this year. And so we got three of them we're going to be recognizing. And come out and support them. Not if it's not to listen to me preach, but just to come out and support them. Youth that are here, Wednesday night we'll be doing our backyard Bible study again, 7 o'clock, so you can come to that. And then this afternoon, I'm needing some muscle. All right, I've got a desk. I've got to get down out of that youth room. And it's either throw it over the side or somebody help me carry it down. And, boy, we don't want to throw it over the side because it is heavy. So if I can get some help this afternoon, so don't skip out because I asked for help this afternoon. Come and help out. All right, so thank you.
Also, the first Sunday of the month, so that means we have birthdays and anniversaries to recognize. So if that is you, if you have a birthday in the month of July, we'll ask you to come forward. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. anniversaries. All right. No anniversaries? Well, there could be somebody over there or online, so we're going to do it anyway. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. All the birthdays and anniversaries I had. All right, now if it's convenient for you, I'm going to ask to stand. And in honor of 4th of July, that happened yesterday, hope everyone had an enjoyable time with friends and family or however you celebrate that. America the Beautiful. our troops that have protected us, singing Your Love Defends Me. God is the ultimate soldier and the ultimate defender. Amen.
You are my joy. You are my song. You are the well, one I'm drawing from. You are my refuge, my whole life long. After day, night after night, I will remember You're with me in this fight. Although the battle it rages on, the war's already won. Isn't that the good news? I know the war's already won.
Here we go.
Surely
standing on the mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that your every step, you were with us. God will never leave us or forsake us. That's His promise.
Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step, you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our heart can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on. With joy our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Carried by your constant grace, held within your perfect peace. Never once, no, we never walk alone.
Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. We're going through a family series, and so if you thought that last Sunday we gave the men some extra privileges, today that's going to change, and we're going to take up our responsibilities as husbands and wives, equal but different. Equal but different. And so we're going to look at that today, at what God's Word has to say. And if you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, Ephesians 5. And let's go to verse 25. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy Word. We're living in strange times, aren't we? Most of our children have never seen anything like what we've gone through the last several months. But you know, most of us adults have never seen anything like what we've gone through the last few months. I haven't. It's just been some tremendous, tremendous times. And the devil always uses every opportunity he can to destroy, to kill, steal, and destroy. And so we really want to bring that out today for sure, and then on every day in our life. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I think that if we're not cautious, we would read that verse too quickly and fail to see the strength of it, to fail to see the awesomeness of that verse. How much did Christ loved the church? So much so that he gave his life for the church. He told Peter, that you believe, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it
to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. You remember what Adam said? Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband, respect her husband. Lord, I pray that you would anoint, bless this time that we have. I pray that I'd be preaching you and not myself. I pray that I can be transparent and that the Word of God would flow through me. And Lord, I know there's not anything in me that's worth this, but I just pray, God, that you'd speak to us as husbands today through your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Perhaps not any more than there has been in the past, but the home is under attack. I believe the devil's always been against the home. He's always attacked the home. And certainly in the day in which you and I live, the home is under great attack. And I believe that the husband plays a major role in setting back that attack, coming against that attack against the family. It's my responsibility and your responsibility to set our home up to fight against the devil, to teach our kids the ways of God, to teach them to love Jesus and to take a stand for the Word of God and for the doctrine of Scripture. In verse 29, the Bible says that no man ever hated his own flesh. When he sets up this stage for how a man is to treat his wife, I believe that what our children see in us, there's more caught than taught. They watch. They are able to see how us men treat our wives when we're away from church, when no one else is around, that our children watch and they see how we treat our wives. And so for the young men, they learn how they are to treat their wives. And for the young ladies, they learn what they should expect from their husband and how their husband should treat them. So I think this is so important. So it's a teaching that we cannot avoid. We have to take a strong stand here and just stay with the stuff. Some of us may think, well, this is good teaching for young couples. They're just starting their marriage. Well, they need to learn these things. Well, this is something that doesn't ever stop. I believe that perhaps it might be more important later in the marriage than it is early in the marriage. It's just as important, if it's not more important, later in the marriage. So verse 28 says, he that loves his wife loves himself. Eugene Peterson puts this passage this way. Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Wives, understand and support your husband in ways that shows your support for Christ. The husband proves leadership to his wife the way Christ does to the church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their own husbands. Verse 25 through verse 28, husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. If we had no other passage, if we had no other verse to build our marriages on, that would be a good one. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her. Dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness, and that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. No one abuses his own body, does he? I thought about asking for a volunteer and bringing a hammer and a piece of metal or something to ask for volunteers for the men, for the husbands, to lay their thumbs on a rock or something and let me hit it with a hammer. And you'd say, well, you wouldn't get any volunteers. Well, what is he saying here? What is he saying here? Are we so dumb that we would abuse our own body? That we would take our thumb and lay it on the anvil and take a hammer and whack it? When my father-in-law was living, we did some work together. I always noticed that he was much more particular with his own fingers than he was my fingers. And he'd start to whack something. I'd say, wait just a minute. Let me be the one with the hammer here. Think about it. Would we lay our finger on the anvil and hit it with a hammer? Well, that's the illustration that he's giving here. He says nobody in their right mind would abuse their own body, would do that, would do things to hurt themselves. So why would you cut your nose off to spite your face? Why would you not do what the Bible says to do in your respect for your wife? Everything that you do, you're doing for yourself, he said. You do that for your wife, and it helps you. It helps you. It's a part of you. No one abuses his own body, does he? No. He feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are part of his body. And this is why a man leaves father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two. They become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church. And this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself and loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. So that's a big order, isn't it? So how is a husband to love his wife? Well, the devil has a counterfeit for everything that God gives us. He has a counterfeit for that. And everything that God is giving us in blessing, and his blessing that he has shared on his people, the devil has a counterfeit for that. And you can see it in the world, you can see how people follow that counterfeit, that will bring no real fulfillment, that will not bring satisfaction. It's counterfeit bills. He pays off in counterfeit bills that are actually worthless. So let's look at verse 25. Husbands, we've got several of them here. It doesn't say how long you've been a husband. He doesn't say, well, if you've been a husband over 50 years, that's all right. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And look at the last part of that. He gives an explanation and gave himself for it. And gave himself for it. Did you get it? That our love for our wives is to be that example that the Lord has set for us, in that Jesus gave himself for the church. Did you get it yet? Jesus gave himself for the church. And so he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. So, we're to give ourselves to our wife. Did you get it? We're to give ourselves for our wives. Now, he used this word love. We're familiar with it, agape, love. It's the verb form of agape. Now, what does that mean? Now, I didn't do real good in English, you can tell. But one of the things that they taught us early on about English was the parts of speech, right? And one of the first parts of speech that I learned was that a verb shows action. A verb shows action. It's doing something. And so here, the word agape is in the verb form. So what does that mean? It is showing action. It is showing action. So in our love for our wife, we are to show action. You and I can't love our wives the way that Christ loved the church without showing action. We can't be like the old boy that said, well, I told her once that I loved her, and if I change my mind, I'll let her know. No, it cannot be that way. It is a love that shows action. Christ gave himself. We're to give ourselves to our wives. This changes the whole ball game. It changes everything. When we look at the situation, if we're a Christian, we're to live for the Lord. And he's to be our life. And he's to be first in everything that we do. And being married does not change that. But the second step, the second part of that, is that if we are married, we are to give ourselves to our wives. They are to be our most important ministry. I hear of pastors who end up divorcing because they spent so much time in the ministry for the church, doing things for the church. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. It teaches that our most important ministry is that we give to our wives, that we're to give ourselves to our wives. Now, I'm not... Gwen wouldn't give a speech if she was asked to. But I'm not. I wouldn't ask her what kind of job I've done at this. But I'll tell you, since I've been working on this passage, I've been trying to do better. I am seeing that. One of the things that I want to make, I think that I said this last Sunday, but I want to make sure that I make this plain to the men in our church, that God has created you to be the initiator. Maybe that was Sunday before last, but God has created you to be the initiator and the wife, the responder. Did you get me? God has created you. He created you this way. He made you to be the initiator and the wife to be the responder. And for you and I to expect anything else is unbiblical. And if you have a wife that wants you to be the initiator, she's a biblical wife. In all things. And I was, as I looked at that this week, I thought, man, I have really... She needs to say she's sorry. And I'm going to wait for her to say that she's sorry that she was in the wrong. Is that biblical? No. I'm the initiator. She's the responder. I had a guy to tell me a story this week about getting in trouble at school. And it's a pretty serious deal. And someone had taken a knife and cut the school bus seats up. And they accused him of it and thought they had good proof. And they gave him a whaling, a whipping over it. And then they found out somebody else did it. Well, he said he confronted the superintendent over the whipping when they found out who did it. And he said, I understand you found out who did it. Yeah. He said, yeah, and they're making compensation for it. And he said, well, what about that whipping you gave me? And he said, that'll just go for... Sometime you need it and I didn't get you. Well, in relationship to the husband and wife, men, stand up and be a man and say, I'm going to initiate our relationship here. I'm sorry. I did wrong. And you think, well, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, you did enough wrong. that you just pick up something in the past and use it right there in that spot. We're to do that. It shows action. We're to show action. Our love for our wife is to show action. This word agape is love in its highest form. Let me just suggest to you some of the things that this says. It is totally unselfish, being patterned after Christ's self-emptying love for sinners. It is totally unselfish. When we talk about relationships, it is real easy for you and I to be selfish about things. Man, I just have to, I deal with that all the time. Selfish. Want my own way. Want my own thing. Secondly, not only is it totally unselfish, it is constant. This verb love is present tense. It is not subject to changing times, seasons, conditions, our circumstances. Did you get that? It's constant. It's constant. And the time, the seasons, the conditions, the circumstances are not to have anything to do with it. Our love is to always respond in the right kind of way, no matter what the conditions are. Well, you don't know how tired I was. You don't know what kind of day I'd had at work. You don't know how difficult some of these situations can be, and on and on and on, and all kinds of excuses for not giving that love in the way that it's to be constant, the way that you and I are to do it. And we're blaming the changing times or the seasons or the conditions or the circumstances on us not doing what we should do. I hope you wives are grabbing hold of this so you can keep us men reminded. And thirdly, it is not optional, it's commanded. The verb is imperative. It is declared the will of God for men. If I could add a fourth thing here, this is to be a radical love that the husband has for his wife. You cannot be too radical in this relationship with the husband and wife. It's to be radical in its magnitude or its greatness. In other words, you cannot go overboard. It's to be radical in its duration, no matter what life brings. I was listening, it's been a few years back now probably, I was listening to a preacher on the radio, and he was really telling his life story, where he was at that point in his life. He'd been the president of a Christian college, and right at the time that he felt like that he was at his peak in his ministry, his wife got Alzheimer's. And so he was faced with a choice. She needed constant care. And so, though he wrestled with the decision, he resigned his position and his ministry to take care of his wife. And he said that didn't make the struggle over, because she had a condition. That didn't mean that the struggle was over. He said, I wondered if I'd made the right decision. I fought with the decision that I had made, and I didn't like the decision. I didn't like doing what I was having to do. And he told this little story. He said his wife loved to take walks. And he said they were walking down the street, and she had to walk slow. So he had to walk slow beside her and hold her hand and help her along and make sure that she understood they was coming to a step up or what was going on the sidewalk. And he said he sensed somebody coming up behind them because they were moving slow. And he said it was a drunk black man. And he had really been struggling with the decision that he made. And he said they had to move kind of over to one side to let the drunk man get past them on the sidewalk. And He said, when the man passed, he stopped and turned around to them. And he said, I likes that. He said, I really likes that. And he walked on. And he said, now you may have some question about how God speaks to you. But he said, God spoke to me through a drunk man. And he said, I don't know that he always does that, but he said, I felt so strongly that God had given me an answer to my life through that man. That God liked what I was doing. That God was satisfied with what I was doing because I was spending the rest of my life loving on my wife. Until death do us part. Any of you said that? Everybody that's married said that. Until death do us part. It is to be radical in its intensity, extreme, very high degree, putting your energy into it. You guys like me and feel like that your energies went out the door somewhere back in the 60s. But to put your energy into it. Now I'm going to finish just this part of it, and then we're going to take up tonight where I left off. It is to be self-sacrificing love, which finds its ultimate expression upon the cross, and he gave himself for her, the church. So the husband must love his wife enough to die for her, even literally, if necessary. And you'd say, well, I would do that. Well, I'd have to question my own self. Now, I'm pointing fingers back there. I have to question my own self. Am I willing to die for my wife if I'm not willing to do these other things for her? I'm willing to die for my wife, but I'm not willing to put the dishes up out of the dishwasher or wipe the table off or vacuum the floor or change a dirty diaper. I want you to know I've changed two in the last 7 months. It's an upbuilding love. We're to have our wife's best interest in mind, with us giving our attention to her spiritual needs and Christian development, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water by the Word is what Paul said to the Ephesians when he was talking about the church. The husband should display his love for his wife by constantly building her up and encouraging her in her walk with Christ. In one ever real sense, the husband is designed head of the family. His personal responsibility is for the spiritual well-being of his wife and his children, not vice versa, which happens many times. It's to be a reconciling love. Aren't you glad that Christ has a reconciling love for us? I mean, he is always ready. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just. Forgive us our sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's constantly with open arms reaching for us to in reconciliation to him. Responding to him. When we pattern that reconciliation after Christ's initiation of our salvation to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, the husband is to love, his love for his bride should be characterized by grace, patience, forgiveness, and a readiness to be reconciled. when their relationship is fractured, or those fractures occur. So you guys that have not been married as long as some of us have, you're up there close to your 30-year mark maybe, or 25-year mark, and some of us have been married 50 years or over 50 years. What I would like to do is be able to say to you today that after you've been married 50 years, you don't have to worry about fractures that occur in the relationship. But I can't, because they do. And so it has to be constant. You disagree, you fuss, you give one another the silent treatment, you do all kinds of things to try to show the other person how aggravated you are. And you go days at a time without speaking, so they know that you are really, really mad. And you know what? You know what we've done? We've taken that out of the relationship. We've taken that time that we could have been spending in wonderful fellowship out of the relationship. And it makes the devil real happy, because the Bible says that when those fractures take place, that our prayers are hindered. That our spiritual relationship with Christ cannot be what it should be, because our relationship with our wife is not what it should be. It should be an affectionate love which feeds, which brings to maturity, which cares for. It literally means in this affectionate love, it has within it the deal of you keep her warm. That Christ displayed for the church, just as he does for the church, he said. No one ever yet hated his own body. Husbandly love, then, should be passionate, tender, fulfilling, practical, well, radical, active, and it should be at all times. For those of us who took a step forward in the sermon last week, let's see how we handle this as we practice this week. Now, I'm going to take up where we left off tonight at 6 o'clock. And I've got some stuff in 1 Peter that you have got to hear. Man, it is just blessed my heart. And it talks about the relationship between the husband and the wife. And we talked about loving our wives. I'm going to give you some ways tonight that you can love your wife. Mike and the musicians, come and help us. We're going to give an invitation. And last Sunday, we we've been doing this for several months now, that when we come to the close of the service, when we give the invitation, I've been praying the sinner's prayer through and inviting folks to follow me in that and ask Jesus to come into their heart and be their Savior. And some folks have done that, maybe some that I don't know of. I know of two that have, for sure. If you're not a Christian, I'm going to ask you to give your heart to Jesus today. If you are a Christian and you need to recommit your life to the Lord, I'm going to ask you to do that today. Maybe you're here and God's dealing with your heart to make some kind of decision about the church, to be baptized, to join the church, to recommit your life in some way. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. So let's stand together, and you pray for those that are not saved, and I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer right now for those that may be listening to us by the satellite, or they may be in the gym or in the parking lot, and they're listening to this message that way. If you are not a Christian, I'm going to ask you to follow me in this prayer, and then I want to know about it. If you have prayed that prayer, there's some telephone numbers on the church's website that you'd be able to get in contact with us. Just give us a call. The staff's cell phone numbers are on that, so you can call any member of the staff and talk to them. Call me. My number's on that. I want to lead us in this prayer. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and lost. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart, and be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin, raising from the dead, and I receive you right now as my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have another need, you need to come today, well, you feel free to do that right now. As we sing, you come.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming. Coming home.